Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Great to welcome Dino and Brendan to the panel for the next hour to look back racing primarily in Melbourne and Sydney yesterday off the back of a Ramaruffi, one of two of the formula bets getting up. So there's money all round for the Dino followers yesterday. Good morning to you, Dean.
Yeah, good morning, Warren.
How'd you enjoy yesterday's races?
Oh, it was tremendous, wasn't it? I think we got to see some great racing at our best track and, another big step in the career of a horse like Smoke and Romans and Ethan Brown, for that matter, and watching their development.
Yeah, he's got to find another spot in the wall for a poster. He's got Snap Dancer posters all over the wall, Brendan. He's going to find room for a Smoke and Romans poster on his wall.
Yep, well, he certainly elevated him, hasn't he? He was terrific there yesterday. Wonderful day at Flemington, just one of those days where you walked in the gate, the sun was shining, and Flemington was looking spectacular. You couldn't help but be happy with what was going to unfold. It was a tremendous day's racing there at Flemington. Didn't stop last night. For those harness fans, go and have a look at Captain Ravishing in race 6 at Melton. It was an astonishing performance. So across the whole day, there was tremendous racing.
Plenty of discussion about the way the track played, maybe difficult to make ground. We've already got an SMS from Jeff about the rail placement for such a feature day. The feature race was the Turnbull Stakes.
The straight, 450 to go. Knight's Order just in front of Smoke and Romans, getting a bit closer now, and it's a neck away and now levels up. They were followed by Maximal. Young Verda behind them needs a run, Dewis, and then Gold Trip. Further back, Profondo. Smoke and Romans, 250 metres to go, takes the lead from Maximal. Young Verda, then Gold Trip. Smoke and Romans, 100 metres to go, still in front, and will win the Turnbull. Smoke and Romans from Maximal second, Young Verda third, and...
Well, firstly, Dino, take us through your thoughts on the race.
Well, the key feature was, Warren, that they went so slowly. Knight's Order led, and thanks to the daily sectional times, the first 1,200 about 7.5 lengths below average. So just really set up for those on pace, close to the rail, and you've only got to watch how the race unfolded, that they were the ones that dominated the finish. Smoke and Romans had that lovely run, and he had a good kick. I mean, he's been on pace there. He's run home the 10th best last 200 of the meeting, as did Maximal, equal 10th best. So they were going to be impossible to get past. Young Verda's sprinted home well, but the likes of Luntzi's third best last 200 of the meeting, Inspirational Girls' second best last 200 of the meeting, Great House 7th best last 200, Surefire 6th best last 200. They've looked average out the back, but the race just didn't change. There was just such was the nature of the setup in the first two thirds. There was never going to be a lot of element of change, and for that reason, Smoke and Roman's in the right spot, and it's a great habit to have. He'll have it on Caulfield Cup Day on the pace. You would expect he'll be exposed to more pressure, but he's a fit horse going well.
How does that impact how you analyse this race, particularly for features like the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, I don't know how much of an actual guide it'll be. We've seen Smoke and Romans is in form, and he'll be on pace regardless of the tempo. He has handled stronger speed races in the past. But, horses back in the field. I've been keen on Inspirational Girl for the Caulfield Cup for a while. Didn't dip my confidence at all, but she, you've just got to equate that, she had no chance given the way the race was run. I can understand why. When I first watched the race, I thought, gee, Dewis is up close. But Jules was probably going slower than she's ever gone first 1,200 metres in a race. But Josh Park actually rode the horse and let her just stride up. So he put her in a spot where, she ran a reasonable race, but she's just not at her best, I don't think, at the moment. But you'd expect the Caulfield Cup will be a lot higher pressure than what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, a couple of horses in via the SMS, just, do we sack Profondo? Where's Jewis at? Your thoughts on the race, first of all, Brendan?
It was a race that in the broadcast box we watched pretty much constantly from the time the replay come up to the end to try and decipher what happened. And Smoke and Romans was good on the speed. Such a great ride from Ethan Brown. He knew there wasn't going to be a lot of pressure kicking up to his inside. He knew he was going to have Knight sort of coming across to lead him. He just took his time to go forward and let the horse flow into the race. And it was almost a carbon copy of what we've seen him do at Caulfield. But he just had a bigger margin on them at the end. I thought Maxima was good close. close to the speed. Young Werder's ticking along nicely. Gold Trip, he was okay. Dean touched on it yesterday, and it was quite evident watching particularly the Stewards film, his action coming around the turn. He had a big swing of that outside leg making the turn. He was really throwing it out there and mightn't have been all that comfortable. I'm not too sure, but it was certainly an extravagant action. Thought he did an okay job covering ground. Luncey's good. Dean's touched on Inspirational Girl. Great House, I thought, did enough. Chapada's probably done enough there, but he needs to win another race. So it's going to be a race where you've got to be forgiving it and probably rely a little bit on the sectionals that they did late just to tell you where they're going, but a race dominated from the front. With Jewess Dean, she didn't make any ground, she didn't lose any ground, so it was really hard, as you said, to try and get a gauge on what she's done there.
Yeah, exactly right, Brendan. It was just where she landed sort of about was where she finished. She was that margin away from the leaders at the end, but what we've seen of her in the past is that big sweeping run, but it's always been off a good, generous tempo, and the best of her is when she gets that sort of speed. So they'd be hoping come Caulfield Cup Day that they get in a race with pressure.
Dean, that action of Gold Trip, it was noticeable at Caulfield last start too. He really throws that, the off front leg. He circles it when he strides out. Could that have been a contributing factor to the veterinary lameness that there was a dispute about earlier on in his career, or is that not something that would just contribute to an awkward action at a trot type of thing?
Oh, no, I think that would have to be the absolute point, Warren, that gait. It's not as though he swings it from the fetlock down. It's nearly a whole leg action. It's most unusual, and it really got exposed yesterday on the big circle at Flemington. And he's been past fit to run, and I think he ran well enough. I mean, he covered ground, and it was a good enough run, but it was certainly something that you spotted in the run.
Tempo of the race is something that we're saying might be hard to dissect, but we've got to move on to the rest of the program. But I want to get words on a couple of horses, three in particular, and where they're at in the spring. Gold Trip, can he win a feature race, Dean?
Got to win a race, Warren. He's won from 14 now. Would he win one of the majors? I don't think so. Is he better to go back end and try and win something like the McKinnon or something? I don't know. But I don't think he'd win a Caulfield or a Cox Plate off that run yesterday.
Yeah, I'm in that category too, Brendan.
Yep, totally agree.
Jewess, Brendan?
Hard to get a gauge yesterday, as Dean said. Better with a stronger tempo. Want to see her again at Caulfield. If it's a stronger gallop at Caulfield, we'll see if she's still got that finish that we've seen prior.
She'd surprise me, just the little stop start she's had. It just hasn't been a great path for Jewess so far, Dean.
I think the Melbourne Cup might be her best chance because she might get a bit of continuity into her preparation, and I think Flemington will be better for her than Caulfield. So if she's going to win something, it might be the Melbourne Cup.
Profondo, Dean.
I think Profondo's he can't really pace himself well in a race. He doesn't conserve energy. And spring champion, he beat Allegron. Allegron was going to go around double figures in that race yesterday. So I think... Yeah, the hype got a bit ahead of Profondo because he went out to the paddock having won a Group 1 in three starts, and now he's had quite a few more starts. I just think he's a good handy horse. Whether he's an absolute elite horse, I'm not sure.
Brendan?
There's just too much going on there mid-race for mine. There's too much wrestling going on, tossing the head around. He's just not conserving energy that he needs to be able to finish off his race to be competitive with the top liners.
Plenty of thoughts and SMSs regarding the Bart Cummings. We'll get to that race as we get through the program. We kicked off with the two-year-olds kicking off down the straight at 1,000 metres in the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes.
350 metres to go. Zulfikar held together. Aditi yet to be called upon. Beluga Express and Charmstone down the middle now. All of the favourites up there. 200 metres to go. Zulfikar with Aditi. Charmstone a length off them. Zulfikar just in front of Aditi. Zulfikar about a half Aditi. And Zulfikar too good. Zulfikar put them to the sword. Beat Aditi, Charmstone, Beluga Express.
Mixed few days for Godolphin, but a winner here. Cascadian winning in Sydney. How do you see the first, Brendan?
Run at a reasonably slow tempo, the way they settled, pretty much the way they finished. Alpha Khaled, Adidi, rolled up to try some, tried and put some pressure on when they came onto the course. Proper couldn't match. Charm Stone, heavily back favourite, expensive. Yearling was there, three deep exposed. Hasn't run poorly once you go back and have a look. She's probably just held her ground with the leaders getting such an easy time of it in front. Thought Beluga Express was okay, and then the rest sort of just battled behind. Didn't mind the run of the one that was out the back and finding the line, Another Nephew. He's probably not up to this grade. Not often we see Patrick Payne with two-year-olds at this time of the year. I thought Another Nephew had closed off that race well to suggest it could go somewhere and win, maybe around the bend, as Dean touched on yesterday, but he mightn't be too far away next time he steps out.
Your thoughts here, Dane?
Yeah, for the babies, they jumped out of the gates, and actually the first couple of 100 metres went at a good gallop, and then that middle stage, they really backed off. And when Blake Shin handed up on Aditi to Zulfikar, it worked out very nicely for the Godolphin runner. I actually got a SMS yesterday of how to pronounce that horse, and I know I just butchered it. So it is Zulfikar. That's how we're told to pronounce it. Zulfikar found the rail. And it was from there, he sprinted up nicely. Aditi ran an honest race. Charmstone, as Mick Price mentioned on the spring ticket yesterday, very green when Jamie Carr went for it. Went in a straight line, but she changed leg three or four times. Now, whether maybe feeling the ground or just a bit of greenness there, but still a nice filly going forward. And Mick, even though she's a Magic Millions qualified, and I think she's a Lady Syndicate horse, he was leaning towards setting it more for the Blue Diamond Golden Slipper sort of path and Beluga Express. I think he'll be okay later on as well. And I thought, Warren, looking at him in the yard, quite a nice bunch of two-year-olds, and just see how their careers unfold.
Yeah, I thought Charmstone, even though Mick Price commented that she was green, she looked the most professional to me. There was a few that were a little bit on the bounce. Zulfikar, if that's right, Dino, typically that's good it. from the Godolphin operation. Ben Malum commenting that getting to the rail to help guide him was a real positive. Do you think that if Blake Shin had his time again, he might have held up on Aditi on the fence and either held Zulfikar out or made him work harder to cross?
Yeah, I think so. I think he got across pretty in a pretty pedestrian manner, and I thought Blake got his horse into a good rhythm, but the leader probably just got that little bit less pressure than than anticipated, and hence got the rail and then got the win.
Race two on the card, best bet for many, fell in at $1.55, Visionari.
As they come around the turn, then came winning partner, Riddle Me That, Regalo Di Gaetano. So the leader, Holbein, Visionari in the middle, yet to be called upon. Poland makes a line of three. Two for the back is Viral. And then came Mr. Exclusive, The Garden. Character held up from Riddle Me That. Visionari's got plenty of company. Digs in now. 200 metres to go under the whip. Mr. Exclusive trying to pick it up with The Garden. Visionari with 100 metres to go. Mr. Exclusive's giving it a race. It's going to be very close or tight. Visionari, prominent Mr. Exclusive. It is a photo.
Well, number one in the frame, Dino, and best bet for many early in the morning, but price is very important in that determination. And at $1.55, I don't think anybody would have been suggesting he was a best bet, but he was good enough to win, and no doubt you'd think he'd improve with that run?
He will. He'll certainly improve. And, so when he was part of the formula bet on Friday, I think our contestant got $1.90, and there was a slight deduction, but he was back to the exclusion of all others. I think he did a very good job, actually, because this race, the first 600 metres, they went an even speed, but from the 8 to the 4, they really built it up. And so that probably, even though he was travelling and it looked like he was being nursed, it left him a bit vulnerable, and it became a tougher race than anticipated. And he did a good enough job to win. In saying all of that, Character should have won. He got badly held up, didn't get clear until late, and then charged through the line. But he just missed his chance to get clear, and hence he was the hard luck story of the race. He's going very well as a gelding Character and being kept to the shorter trips.
I think Character and winning partner, Brendan, you could mount a case that they were unlucky winning partner back nearer the inside. And I agree with Dino, if you were trying to judge the relative unluckiness. You'd probably have Character the most unlucky, but I was tongue-in-cheek thinking we should be scheduling a match race between Winning Partner and Character sometime in the near future to sort it out.
Winning Partner can do that at Flemington a little bit, though, can't he? Get back to that inside part and put a flashing light on himself. But his Flemington strike rate overly isn't great. I think now he's had 10 runs there for just the two placings, and every time he runs there, he looks like next time's going to be the time. He did it through the Winter Championship Series and couldn't pick up a race. Vizinari, I thought he did a good job. Race changed a little bit when the garden was slow out. I had him up on the speed, but he was a bit slow out and rolled into the race three wide with cover and has closed it off really well. But Vizinari, if he needed the run, he's certainly going to improve off that. You would think Mr. Exclusive just can't win one at Flemington. He was in front, I'm sure, just before the line there yesterday and just after the line, but just failed. He's run another honest race. Character made the case there that he probably should have won. Viral, the disappointing runner for me, had a good run behind the speed, presented at the top of the straight, couldn't quite finish it off. I thought Riddle Me That got a pass back, closing it off, went back to the inside. He's running his usual Flemington race. And Regalo Digitano probably wasn't a bad effort first up for the Patrick Payne stable, hitting the line. So you could make a case that a few of these might be competitive, but they're probably going to meet again in the not-too-distant future. But Vizinari's the one that could bounce out of it and put his name up in lights.
Andrew Forsman's on a plane back to New Zealand this morning. He had a good day at the office at Flemington yesterday, combining with Damien Lane. The first of the double was She's Lickety Split in the Edward Manifold.
Celestial Spirit with Do It La tanking up on the outside. She's Lickety Split also yet to be called upon is ambling up out wider, and then Taj Need as time goes by has hit traffic problems, and Typhoon Titmus coming on at the 200. She's Lickety Split from Do It La and Taj Need back to the inside from Typhoon Titmus at the 100. She's Lickety Split draws away. She's Lickety Split is going to do it and scored three quarters. Typhoon Titmus, Taj Need, Do It La. Then as time goes...
Dino, how'd you see the Edward Manifold?
Well, it was a solid test for the fillies, Warren. They ran very good overall time, and She's Lickety Split rode that speed. Do It La, obviously, right on the pace. Celestial Spirit, as anticipated, rolled along, but really did roll it out at a good speed. And we saw, I think, probably the best come to the top there. And She's Lickety Split was really solid to the line. Just a really good performance. So was Typhoon Titmus. Proved that she can run the mile. That was my little doubt on her, but she ran the mile out well and ran very well. Taj Need at just her second race start. What a beautiful filly, looking at her in the pre-race and ran well. She's got a nice future. Do It La was sound. As time goes by, just got held up at a crucial stage, but ran well. I think she's ticking over okay. So any of the first five, I think probably, and even Vagrant was another good run. They're going well, but this is one of the first times we've seen the fillies really tested, and hence She's Lickety Split put up an above average figure.
Sumatra, slow to begin, Brendan, covered ground and had a tough run throughout, according to Damien Oliver, finished well down the track, so perhaps a forgive for her, but what it took out of her could be crucial in terms of how she's able to recover in the short term. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, if you had her on a futures ticket, you mightn't be overly happy with the way she went there yesterday, but She's Lickety Split. Little question mark, maybe at the 1600 metres and with the blinkers on and the fact that she did get keen through that early part of the race, but she was strong through the line. Thought it was a terrific effort after getting the spot that you probably wanted there, just behind the speed. Typhoon Titmus closed it off well again. Tajni was good. Do It La, thought battle well after riding that speed. As time goes by, thought it was a really good run. To the inside, she was just getting warm again on the line where she had to check off the heels of Do It La and Vagrant's one that I'm not dropping off. Just would like her to be a little bit bigger. She's only a little girl, and stepping out maybe again in trip, if she was a little bit bigger, might help her, but she's not overly big. But there might be a race in her. She's finding the line nicely, and she was last on the turn and has done a good job. But She's Lickety Split got a peach of a ride from Lane, but she was more than up to the task herself.
You referenced Typhoon Titmus, Dino. The plan with the quick backup going into yesterday was just trying to get enough prize money to shore up a place in the 1,000 guineas. She didn't win, but you would think that the 54,000 she earned yesterday would go a long way to making sure that Connections, Rupert Lee and the team, and Robbie Griffiths and Matt de Kock will have a runner in the 1,000 guineas.
And Ariane Titmus too, Warren. I see that she took up an option of a share in her yesterday and was on track to cheer her home, and she ran very well, and that should get her into the 1,000 guineas. I don't know if there'll be probably a couple of Sydney fillies come down, but I don't think there'll be a lot. She's extreme, I'd imagine, would come down, but Chris Wallace said Zugotcha's not, and Fireburmer's plain, so yeah, she should get into the field.
What about comparing this form to Boogie Dancer on that rain-affected track in the 1,000 Guineas Prelude? Or try and get your thoughts on Caulfield Guineas, 1,000 Guineas, and perhaps Caulfield Cup, both yourself and Brendan, by the end of this hour. We'll start with the 1,000 Guineas. Seems an opportune time to talk about it following this race.
Yeah, well, I think Boogie Dancer's performance, hard to line up what happened on that day with that big storm and the track deteriorating to yesterday on a firm deck, but we've seen Boogie Dancer on dry ground perform well. I'm still thinking that these have got a bit of ground to make up to catch her, and then I think, you know, she's extreme. If she comes down, would be the one I'd be probably leaning towards. But yeah, there's a good blend because, you know, she's lickety split. I think certainly elevated yesterday with the blinkers on.
She's lickety split currently heading the futures market with the tab, Brendan, at $4.50 ahead of Boogie Dancer at $5. How do you see it?
I think I'm just a little bit leaning towards She's Lickety Split over Boogie Dancer, just for the fact that She's Lickety Split can be closer in the run. The best of Boogie Dancer, we've seen her get back and really run through the line. She appreciated that deteriorating track at Caulfield there a couple of weeks ago. We've seen her run on firm ground. She's adept at handling that. But I just think if you're trying to work out position in running, She's Lickety Split, I reckon, is going to be three or four lengths closer and might have an advantage on Boogie Dancer just by the time they get to the turn. So just trying to work it out in your head as it is this far out. She's Lickety Split, hard to go past her at the moment for mine.
Mick D had a good day at the office. He gave Luna Flair a peach in the Bart Cummings from an inside draw, and he got Exolita into a lovely spot in the Rosa Kingston.
She's All Class, who's cuddled in front by three quarters of a length, Tycoon Evie. Then came Argentia, Exolita, Cirileo Miss, Pride of Jenny, and back behind those horses, Megamere. She's All Class, 250 metres to go. Argentia's about to peel off her back and looks a hope. She's All Class, three quarters, Argentia, Exolita, Megamere late. She's All Class, curling up and dropping on her as Exolita, and Exolita wins it from Argentia. She's All Class, Tycoon Evie.
Well, Dino, we'll let you have first crack again here. Exolita was double-figure odds earlier in the week when you were considering she had a terrific chance. How did you see her performance yesterday?
Should just keep playing that replay, Warren. I think it was a good listen. But she was terrific, Exolita. And what we'd seen, I think we all mentioned going into her first up run, was how well she'd been trialling, and she was sharp and right on top of her game. And just hit that wet track and still ran well at Caulfield. And yesterday, Mick D took the opportunity out of the gates to really put her in the race. She got in a lovely spot. She was following Tycoon Evie into the race. The dynamic of the race changed when Pride of Jenny missed the start. We've seen her do that before on a couple of occasions. One day a lot worse at Caulfield, but just didn't step cleanly. And from there, she was sort of three wide following her old stablemate, Cirileo Miss, into the race. But I thought Blake Shin's ride here on She's All Class, I thought he rated her to absolute perfection and gave her the best chance to win. But Exolita just was able to have that good, strong pick-up late, and she needed to, and she was home in the 10th best last 200 of the meeting. So clearly the best last 200 of the race. Only the likes of Odium back in the field ran similar to her, but it was a good effort by her. Argentia, fantastic insight yesterday, listening to Sam Friedman talk about Argentia and how she's really turned it around in the 2 weeks between her last trial and yesterday. Because off her trials, she had no hope, but she looked well and ran well yesterday, so she's going to keep improving. She's All Class, I mentioned, and Pride of Jenny's chances were lost, but she still ran well, getting home for fifth.
Your thoughts on the Rosa Kingston, Brendan?
Yeah, race changed early, as Dean touched on, prior to Jenny Slowout. She was the leader for most. But She's All Class acquitted herself well up on the speed. Ex-leader just got into the perfect spot, and when she peeled at the top of the straight, she looked as though she was going to be hardest to beat. She's run well. Tycoon Evie, I thought, did a good job close to the speed. Argentia, just that little bit too keen through the middle stages of the race. Probably dulled her finish a little bit, but she's run well. Mega Mia, consistent. Not dropping off Yearning. She's ready for 1600 metres now, back on the inside. She just had to stop and change course a little bit there. She was working through the line well. Odium was a good effort first up since this race last year. Unfortunate Kiss, she's got a tale of woes to tell, but she just got out the back yesterday. She was still closing it off well, but she was just spotting the leaders too much of a start. Ex-leader had been trialling up well and just got a really sweet ride from McD.
A couple of Group 1 winners, Dean, who perhaps targeting the Empire Rose at Flemington as their grand final. This preparation, Yearning and Odium. How do you think they're progressing towards a race like that?
Yeah, I think Yearning's right on target, and Odium nearly won it 2 years ago. And I think the next run will tell the tale with her. She did more than enough at her first run back from a long spell. And I thought Doker out the back did more than enough too, because you couldn't win out wide yesterday. She was the widest runner. She actually hit the line quite sweet. So I think that this race, Exolita was really good, and she's going well for these 1,400-metre races. Whether she can lengthen out to the mile of an Empire Rose, I'm not sure, but certainly behind them, Yearning's the one that I think come Empire Rose Day at level weights, she'd maybe be the one out of this race I'd be interested in.
We've already talked about a couple of races, Dean, where tempo was a key factor. How did you see the track play yesterday?
I don't think the track was too much of an issue, in that most horses were able to get to that inside 5 metre patch. If you got wider than that, you were racing on the ground from that heavy track Sunday meeting, so it probably wasn't absolutely the ideal spot. But the tempo of the races was a massive key, and so many of them, they sat up in the middle stages and back and wide had no chance anyway, and then if they went wider than that 5 metres, well, they were probably in inferior ground.
Brendan, you've got a great perspective live watching it from the caller's box, but also the opportunity to watch numerous replays. How did you see it?
Yeah, Dean pretty much summed it up there. They didn't go hard enough through the middle stages of the races for those horses in the back half of the field to make ground when you've got even racing and you've got quality horses, quality fields and good horses up at the top of the speed. They're going to have energy left to kick with, so it's going to be hard to run down, and there was that wear there from that meeting on the Sunday a couple of weeks ago. So a fact of racing. If you've got quality horses on a moderate speed, they're going to be hard to run past in the end.
Clayton Douglas is doing a terrific job and enjoying the ride with Giga Kick. The bar was raised again, potentially, the Dane Hill Stakes yesterday.
Duel, the leader from Sun Tzu, Swiss Exile, and Giga Kick is coming on up the middle. They were followed next by Buena Noches, who hooks out wider. Cannonball is coiled up, and further back in the field, Great Barrier Reef, 250 to go. It's Duel with Giga Kick joining in, and Buena Noches the outside. Giga Kick takes the lead, shown the whip, led three quarters of a length. Buena Noches, Duel, Cannonball. So it's Giga Kick finding, 50 metres to go. Buena Noches is going to lunge. Giga Kick off Buena Noches. It's very, very close, but I think Giga Kick's held it.
Oh, your mate nailed it again there. Brendan, how did you see the Daniel?
He was a little bit sceptical after the line, though, but just before the photo came up, he had to have a scratch of the head just to make sure. But good effort from Giga Kick. Remains unbeaten. He's got a tremendous will to win, a bit of cat and mouse jockeys throughout the race. I'm sure Craig Williams knew who was going to be sitting on his tail, and Craig knew it, was happy to sit there for as long as he could till he pulled the trigger at about the 150. When it's not changed as close strongly, Giga Kick's had a millimetre to spare up his sleeve. Both horses have run really well. Dean touched on it yesterday. Cannonball's improving all the time. He's gone from a tearaway to a horse that can relax a little bit in a race. He settled okay there yesterday. He was still quite keen, but able to finish the race off. He's trending towards another win. I thought Duel battled well. Unlucky runner of the race, Great Barrier Reef, buried back to the inside, got out late, and has closed off okay towards the back end. Chances were gone, though. The race had passed him by. But great for Clayton Douglas, but depends on where they go now. What might be on offer for Giga Kick if they meet again over the carnival down the straight over 1,200? Might be a slight advantage to Buenos Notches, but maybe Giga Kick might get some cover. It might be a different story.
there's a number of terrific relatively young people in racing, Dino. A lot of talk about, you know, using them to promote the sport, ambassadors, so to speak. I think we saw examples of two of them yesterday in the winner's stall, in both Clayton Douglas and Ethan Brown, that are just you know, outstanding representatives for racing and can be great ambassadors for the sport in the future.
Yeah, I'm certainly in agreement with that, Warren. Clayton's a fine young man and doing a great job with his team, and Giga Kick yesterday. Probably the time between runs, he's a little bit fresh, because my first thought was, that he was a bit keen on a gentle speed, but that wasn't the case. They absolutely flew early, he was still quite keen. So I think that run will actually serve him well, and he'll improve off that one. It's not just terrific run, he's going well. As Brendan mentioned, I'm liking the development of Cannonball and Great Barrier Reef. I don't know if he can win the Coolmore, but he can certainly win a race like the Blue Sapphire or something like that. He just got badly held up when the momentum horses were building and still wanted to find the line under a pretty light ride. So I thought his run was very good under the circumstances.
A couple of weeks ago, we tried to get some futures. I think it might have been Rhino trying to snuff out another long-term play into the Coolmore, and you were very much in the corner of In Secret following the Golden Rose and this run yesterday. Where do you sit now, Dean?
Well, we've got to wait on the announcement of Godolphin's runner for the Everest, whether In Secret would run in the Everest and then pull up stumps, or if she doesn't go there, well, you know, she'd be going to the Coolmore. So I'd be happy to think that she could win the Coolmore. But, yeah, a horse like Giga Kick will improve off that run yesterday. I think I was talking with Carl Diorio last night, and I think he made a very good point that it's a shame this race is back to 1,100. It'd be lovely to have seen these horses go from the 1,100 of the Poseidon to the 1,200 yesterday of the Dane Hill, as it used to be, and have a test at 1,200 before the 1,200 of the Coolmore, but not to be. And you know, Giga Kick's going very well. That'll be the next thing, 1,200 up the straight if he paces himself. And he's still probably in contention for James Harron's spot in the Everest. So it's not a done deal that horse like Giga Kick, being a gelding, would just go to the Coolmore.
The Bart Cummings race 6 on the card at Flemington yesterday with a spot in the Melbourne Cup up for grabs.
Around the corner, they come around the bend for a spot in the Melbourne Cup. 550 metres to go. It's Midnight Blue on the outside of Serpentine. Deshaun Sweet Jr. next. Then came San Herberto, Interpretation, Luna Flair. High Emotion brought to the outside. Vow and Declare needs a run. And then came King of the Castle, Midnight Blue. 300 metres to go. Sprints to the front, a length and a half. Luna Flair, Interpretation. Serpentine is kicking back, and then came Francesco Guardi from a long way back, but Luna Flair, 100 metres to go, takes the lead, comes clear, a length and a quarter. Luna Flair will win. Luna Flair from Francesco Guardi, and third in the middle.
A few SMSs regarding what this race might mean for the future, Dean. Firstly, tell us how you saw it pan out.
Saw it pan out very well for Luna Flair right from the get-go. She drew well and was able to use that gate, and probably, if you were mapping the race, you thought maybe three back the fence was where she was going to be. Well, she never actually had that. She was directly behind the leader pretty much all the way. When Interpretation didn't drop down to the rail, she ended up directly behind Serpentine. So she didn't have as much traffic to negotiate as anticipated. I was surprised that Serpentine led at such a slow speed, and over the back they got it down to about a 13-second sectional at one stage. And then I thought he'd really try and break them from about 1,000, but the pressure valve was never really released, and hence what we got at the end was a very bunch finish. A very good winner in Luna Flair. She has won her way into the Melbourne Cup. She was number 21 already, so chances are she was going to get in anyway, but she's kept one out, if you like. She's done a good job to win. The run of Francesco Guardi, I can't explain how good it was. I don't know where it came from. All but fell at the 800, held up, went from the 51st best 400 of the meeting to the 4th best last 200. So his pick-up speed late was incredible to get as close as he did. Interpretation, I think, ran well. I think he'd have preferred a more truly run race. I think a lot of these would have preferred that, but on a day where the ticket was up for grabs, the pressure valve just wasn't really released until late, and Luna Flair had the best turn of foot.
So that B being a factor and not being a true test makes it hard to assess. Do you think if Francesco Guardi got to the outside of King of the Castle earlier in the home straight, then he would have won the race?
I don't think there's any doubt. Even after nearly falling, all but falling, I think he probably would have got the money. He was probably just about to peak on his run right on the line, but he was entitled to. Not much had gone right. So an incredible run.
How'd you see the Bart Cummings, Brendan?
Francesco Guardi was, you know, he would have been forgiven for throwing the toys in the cot at the 8.50 and said, that's enough for me. But his run was fabulous. On the desk here, racing.com and on the rat, they've just showed about seven or eight different angles of Francesco Guardi, and Craig Newitt's pulled off a miraculous performance to stay intact with him, and he's run well. I think Luna Flair was just, that the run that she did have has helped her, but she was best adapt to really pick up and sprint when she needed to from the position she was in. Went a long way to helping her win the race, but she's earned her spot in the first Tuesday in November. Francesco Guardi, we've touched on, Interpretation, would have just liked that gallop to be maintained where they did back it off for a little bit. You would suspect Stepping Out in Trip Again is only going to be in his favour. Midnight Blue, I think, has run really well back to the inside. Vaughan Declare could have done with some room earlier. Coming to the turn, I thought High Emotion was going to be the winner again. Really rolled into the race on that three wide train like she was going to go on and win the race, but she's just gone to the line alongside Vaughan Declare, which is a solid enough effort. I thought King of the Castle was okay. Dash and Sweet Junior maybe a little disappointing, but did cover a bit of ground. And the horse that I'm warming to, maybe not for a Melbourne Cup, but certainly a Geelong Bendigo Cup scenario's team captain, I think he's ticking along nicely. He was really good back towards the inside.
Couple to touch on via SMS, Dino, but I'll read the summary from the stewards report behind Francesco Guardi, which probably doesn't do it enough justice, but got its head up and shifted out at the start near the 900-metre mark when trailing Vaughan Declare, faltered, lost its footing and almost fell, unbalancing rider Craig Newitt and losing ground. King of the Castle, which was following, was hampered in consequence. Held up for clear running from the 500 until shifting out across the heels of King of the Castle, passing in 300. So, in summary, there's some detail there that says he didn't have much luck, but watching it in replay, do you know it's even more graphic than what the stewards report outlines?
Yes, Warren, it certainly was a graphic moment, and yeah, I don't think Craig knew it would have known what had happened at that point in the race, because he lost everything, and you would have thought lost his chance, and I just couldn't believe it when he was getting to the line as good as he did. But yep, Luna Flair's in the Melbourne Cup. Well done to the team there. I think Interpretation, I would have loved to have seen him just ridden with more aggression yesterday, because I think what we haven't seen of him is him use his strengths yet, and that is maintaining a long gallop.
We've seen him relentless in some of his overseas performances. Danny from Muriduck probably would have liked to see that yesterday too. Good morning. How likely is Interpretation to make the Melbourne Cup field? I backed him at 60s a while ago. What's the challenge for Interpretation, Dave?
Well, he's either got to be a really good backup horse and win the Lexus 3 days out, which is, you know, a bit of Russian roulette by that stage. Geelong Cup's probably the option he's got to take up and hope that that sort of performance, if he won that, got him enough of a penalty to get into the field. But that's the challenge ahead. He's number 38 in order at the moment. With the rate of attrition, in most years that would get you very close. So wouldn't give up on him just actually getting into the field, a bit like Floating Artist last year. But, the Geelong Cup or the Moonee Valley Cup have probably got to be his next option.
Barry via the SMS, Dino, before we move on to the next race, just wondering whether yesterday's Bart Cummings or Metrop could provide the winner to the Caulfield Cup.
I don't think so, but it's not beyond the realms, because it's a different sort of looking favourites board and betting board for the Caulfield Cup than most years. But I don't know if the Metropolitan, no compromise, did a good job to win yesterday. He's going very well. I'm not sure about the Bart Cummings as a Caulfield Cup guide.
There were some smart punters honing in on Private Eye. He was well supported in the Gilguy down the straight, race 8 yesterday.
The course proper with 500 metres to go. It's the Astrologist in Kemmel Passer. A length and a half, Rockin' Horse, Athelric and Serious Suspect. Then Shaquiro swats that badly, needs a run, then Baller. And Private Eye down the outside from Tycoonus. The Astrologist, 250 metres to go, joined by Rockin' Horse. And now Private Eye, the heavily backed Private Eye, takes the lead from Rockin' Horse, the Astrologist. And then Baller, but it's Private Eye surging away, back for a stack and bolts in. Private Eye from Rockin' Horse, Baller, then the Astrologist.
Well, an unfortunate incident with It's Our Time being a late scratching and a patron getting injured there, a young girl hoping she's recovering well, where a gate effectively fell on her leg. So unfortunate scenes as It's Our Time was trying to make his way onto the track. But Brendan, when they got onto the track, it was a really competitive race behind Private Eye, who just had a lap on him.
Certainly did. Just got put into a lovely spot by Josh Parr. Three quarters of the way down the field, got himself into the clear when he needed to be, and he had plenty up his sleeve and it was time to go, and has really run away with 60 kilos and put a big hole in them. Late, Rockin' Horse has run well again down the straight, so is Baller, so there's a form line through there. The Astrologist likewise. Zutori didn't have a great deal of luck back to the inside, had to, looked as though he was going to go solo up the inside before they came across and joined him. I thought he's done a good enough job. Swats that held up for a long way, but as Dean touched on yesterday, it's a bit of a theme for her, and we need to see her be winning another race. Circumstances didn't pan out for Serious Suspect when they did all go to that inside rail. He was left behind the Astrologist. We know that's not his go down the straight. Kemmel Pass, a disappointing big forget that Shaquiro ever went around. His two runs down the straight prior to yesterday were in a Coolmore and a VRC Classic behind Nature Strip, so we didn't get a great guide on where he is after his run there yesterday, but we got a guide on Private Eye, and it just showed that he's got a fair bit on these.
I was talking to Chief Handicapper Dave Hagan following the race, Dino, and I think Joe Pride's expressed an interest in targeting the Champions Mile on the last day of Flemington, but you know, there could be an Everest spot in between, and Dave Hagan was saying, well, you just keep him fresh and come for the Dali as well. He's obviously effective when he's kept fresh and sprinting, so there could be some options for Private Eye. How did you see his win yesterday?
Well, he's only got one Achilles heel, Warren, really. He's a very good racehorse. He just doesn't really like wet tracks. He can handle a little bit of soft ground, but the heavy ground in Sydney has probably thwarted a lot of his last 12 months. But he ran well in the Stradbroke. We knew that form through Alligator Blood and Rothfire, both big race winners down here already this spring. It was just where he was going to get to in the run, but Josh Parr, just every time he needed a bit of room, it just appeared. And off he went, and best 400, 200 of the meeting. Outstanding performance, clearly the run of the day. And if he got decent ground in the Everest, he'd be a top four chance if they got that invitation. But, yeah, he's right in the zone, that horse, at the moment. And Joe Pride was very keen to tell everyone, I heard an interview with him, that he'd win yesterday, and he was spot on the money. He won with great authority.
Ron Duffy was very keen. Heard him on with Michael Falgate earlier on in the morning, and I think Duff was also tipping No Compromise strongly in the Metrop. So Duff probably had a good day in Sydney, Dino, and good to see him finding the Melbourne winners as well.
Yeah, not many. He doesn't have many bad days. Hence, that's why he holidays in Italy most winters. So he's going very well, the Duff, and put on a great show yesterday tipping those horses.
Mr. Maestro stamped himself as a genuine Derby contender, a part of a good day for Andrew Forsman and Damien Lane in the last.
Appreciating goes wide. It's Our Time still with five to pick up and has to get between horses at the moment. And then Curran, Cirides and Prince of Boom as they reach the 200. Here's Ingratiating right down the outskirts. It's Our Time coming hard. Ingratiating leading a length from It's Our Time and Curran the inner. Ingratiating clear in the blue, and it's going to lag in towards the inside, but when it Ingratiating has won it from It's Our Time, Curran, Prince of Boom.
Thoughts on the last, Dean?
Well, it wasn't Ingratiating and Prince of Boom and Curran, I know that, but Mr. Maestro was Mr. Maestro was very good. This race is in contrast to what we saw in the Bart Cummings and the Turnbull Stakes. This race often is a bit of a test for horses going towards the Derby, and if they can handle what you know, the tempo, and Major Beale just went too hard. He was 6.5 lengths above standard early, and it sorted out the horses that can stay from the ones that can't, and Mr. Maestro loved it. And as Andrew Forsman mentioned in a post-race interview with Racing.com, that he looked better on the drier ground, which serves him well because he can handle anything. And it was a really strong performance and one of the better three-year-old performances of the season. He won easily. Red Sun Sensation onto the bigger track, onto the drier track, ran really well. Berendino stayed to the inside. He was following Arzino. Damien Oliver had to make that decision to come out, and I think played the percentages and edged his way out. Berendino rode, was a pair further back, so probably didn't have any choice and just rode for luck. He went wherever Damien didn't want to go, and he ended up getting through and ran well. Arzino, I thought, ran well. He got a bit hot pre-race, as Marie McEwen mentioned on the spring ticket yesterday. So if he can harness that, there's probably improvement there, but there needs to be. Mr. Maestro's now proven twice at 1800 that he's going really well.
Brendan?
Yeah, twice he's proved it now. Wet ground, dry ground, can sit close to the speed. I thought he was terrific there yesterday, and he's my top seed heading towards the Derby. Red Sun Sensation had missed the runny between that a couple of others had had. He loomed at the top of the straight. You'd think he's going to really bounce off that. Berendino is okay. Zeno got to that outside part of the track, worked home okay. I thought Gran Piero was doing enough at the back end, one of the roughies, to suggest that he's going to be able to get the trip heading towards a Derby, but Mr. Maestro is the top seed for mine at the moment. He's going to, you would think he's going to handle a step up in trip, and he seemed to have plenty up his sleeve there yesterday.
Strong day of racing at Flemington yesterday. Huntley Castle taking out the Matoa Cup provincially in Victoria yesterday. Three Group 1s at Randwick. We'll turn our attention north after this.
...towards the corner. 500 metres to run. Crosstalk in front from Nimmerly, who's sticking to the task. Two lengths away to Hinge. Top Ring slightly balked there, getting to the outside. Ice Bath is two lengths away as Nimmerly takes the lead now at the top of the rise. But Top Ring is closing in. So's Hinge. Ellsberg taking a run towards the inside. Ice Bath, the wheels are spinning. It's Top Ranked and Hinge going to the front. Top Ranked, Hinge. Ellsberg's fighting on the inside, coming home hard. Top Ranked in front from Ellsberg. Top Ranked, Ellsberg bobbed. Oh, close one in the Epsom. Ellsberg's really bobbed there on the inside. I made it very close from Top Ranked.
So close they couldn't be split. Dino, what did you make of the Epsom?
It was a tremendous race, Warren, as the big miles always are. And as you said, at the end, after 9 minutes, the judge couldn't get the margin. There was a dead heat. He must have gone to the chemist to get it developed. It took that long. but Ellsberg, really good effort to fight back, as mentioned by Darren Flindell. But I think Tom Bragg also just peaked on his run a little bit. Yeah, I think he's a little chance in the Cox Plate, or a good chance in the Cox Plate, Top Ranked. Ellsberg did a good job yesterday. Hinge ran quite well. Ice Bath, she was there. I thought had her chance yesterday, was okay. But, it was ultimately the two stallions fighting off the mares who were expected to dominate, and Ellsberg and Top Ranked dead heating.
Brendan?
Yeah, thought top of the straight that Top Rank was going to go on and win the race quite comfortably the way he travelled into it for Hugh Bowman, but he had to settle with a split. Ellsberg brave, Hinge brave in between them. She just kept on sticking her head out. Ice Bath just couldn't quicken with them when she needed to. One day she'll get her day in one of these group ones, but unfortunately it wasn't yesterday. But nice by Top Rank, but just I thought he was going to beat them a little bit easier than he ended up having to split from the top of the straight.
Plenty of discussion about the fillies going into the flight stakes, and I think from what we've heard from Ray Thomas earlier on, it could be a spell looming for Fireburn following that performance running fourth, but Zoo Gotcha taking out another leg of the Princess Series.
The turn, Pavitra's under plenty of pressure now, so she's extreme, quickly peels off heels. Zugotcha stays back towards the inside, two clear from Madame Pomery. Fireburn six lengths away, given the cue by Abdullah, and she's starting to wind up. Zugotcha went up the fence to join North Star Lass. She's extreme, four lengths to Fireburn. It's Zugotcha, North Star Lass, and she's extreme. Fireburn can't get there, but Zugotcha has got the Princess Series wrapped up. Big win in the flight stakes, and Zugotcha
Future won it by 2.5 to She's Extreme.
What do you make of this, Brendan?
So you got your good back to the inside, probably where you didn't want to be. Didn't have the nice running behind them, though, to win. North Star Last Solid on speed. She's Extreme had the right run, just couldn't quicken with them. And Fireburn, you just wonder how much those really big performances have taken out of her. Not only those performances, but the fact that they'll run on bottomless ground, looking towards the future for her. You'd have to say it's had some detriment to the way she's come back this time in.
Your take on the fillies here, Dane?
Yeah, she's a good filly, Zugotcha, and as Brendan said, probably made her ground closer to the inside where you didn't want to be, but once she got that room to stretch out, she did very nicely. I think She's Extreme's going well. I think that maybe there's a bit in the tank there still for her to come to Melbourne, and I think her performance yesterday was as good as any of the fillies in Melbourne, so I'm happy to think if she handles the Melbourne way of going, she's a big chance in a race like the 1,000 Guineas. North Star Lass rode the speed, battled on quite well, and near Fireburn. She was on the seven-day backup too, and there was a big run in the Golden Rose, so it was probably just that bit bigger an ask for her yesterday, and yeah, we mightn't see her to the autumn, where she'll probably get her preferred wet ground again.
Plenty of discussion post-race about who backed the most unlucky runner in the Metropolitan. No Compromise had a narrow margin on the line.
Arapahoe getting onto its back from No Compromise, looking for room as they turn. 400 metres to run. Cariff in front, ran out a bit on Ladon de Vie, beating off Grove Ferry. Then Realm of Flowers and Durston's winding up down the outside. Arapahoe trying to go with it, slicing through the middle. No Compromise, and also Stockman. It's Cariff, Ladon de Vie, Durston the outside. Realm of Flowers still there from Stockman, and No Compromise picking up now. It's Ladon de Vie, No Compromise, late Realm of Flowers, No Compromise, and Ladon de Vie, here we go again. Another close one. No Compromise and Ladon de Vie.
Not an easy day in the office for Darren Flynn-Bell, Dino. Your take on the Metrop?
Yeah, very close finish, No Compromise. He's just been trending like the horse for this race for a while, and got the money narrowly over Ladon de Vie, who ran well. Wet ground suits him, and hence that's why he's been in Sydney. Realm of Flowers, good return for her, running well. Stockman close up, but as you said, Warren, not a lot between these and a few hard luck stories involved.
Brendan, Metrop?
Yep, No Compromise. Got a crafty ride through from Tom Berry. Thought Ladon de Vie has ran well. Realm of Flowers, she was super. She was wide the trip, and she only just missed. She was gone four or five times in the straight, and Stockman's done a good job behind. But, yeah, close finish, and would have liked Realm of Flowers to get a little bit closer. But nonetheless, we move on.
Throughout the day, we saw Hosier win again for Chris Lees, Lost and Running on the way to the Everest, win when well supported. Cascadian took out the Hill Stakes, Dino, and won via the SMS. Just the gelding operation might be the making of Remark, who won again, albeit benchmark level in the last.
Oh, it certainly has, Warren, and he didn't even really like wet ground. He's handling wet ground as a gelding. He's just, obviously, he just wasn't concentrating. That was a really genuine win. He wanted the win, and then late in the race, I love the way he put him away there for Hugh Bowman. He ran a good figure. He's going really well. He'll win a stakes race. If he comes down for maybe the sprint on Melbourne Cup Day or something like that at this stage, he could build a really nice profile this campaign.
Dean, touch on the performance of Very Elegant overnight. Any thoughts there?
Overraced a bit. Had to edge to the outside to make her run. They sprinted. She sprinted with them, but didn't make a lot of impact. Maybe the French handicapper was onto something.
Brendan?
Her, isn't it now? You would think she went, she tried, she couldn't measure up. That might be it for her, I think.
Early thoughts, Caulfield Guineas, Dino. The carnival kicks off next week. Obviously, we've lost Arf Cabin. Before we see final fields, is there a horse that's front of mind for you?
Oh, I'm still probably with Godolphin. I think Golden Mile, should he take his place. I thought he was ridden way too aggressively in the Golden Rose and battled on well, I think, off a quieter ride. His performance in the lead-up to the Golden Rose has been, I think, the three-year-old run of the season. So I'm with Golden Mile.
Thought there, Brendan?
Yeah, I think Barclay Square is just flying under the radar a little bit off what we've seen him do at Flemington last time, where he had to wait for that run. Dan O'Sullivan obviously understands his horse and knows what he needs heading towards this, and hard to discount a minimal on what he did in that that terribly run Guineas Prelude. He got out the back and closed off well. So, yeah, Barclay Square, amenable, a couple that I'm leading to outside of the favourite.
Yeah, I was going to throw amenable up, but you've done that for me. Time for the boys. Runs of the day, horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Well, I had Exolita pretty high in the market for you, Dino, but I've got a feeling you might be leaning to Private Eye. How did you see it?
Yeah, Private Eye's the run of the day for me, Warren. It was an outstanding sprinting performance, and I don't want him to necessarily go to the Coolmore, but I think Great Barrier Reef can win a three-year-old race in the near future with the right run. He had no luck in the Dane Hill yesterday.
Seymour Cup at Bendigo today. Anything we should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I'm going to play the main race. I'm a fan of Flash R. I like they've kept him fresh. First up, he was chasing I Wish I Win, so it wasn't a disgraceful run by any means, and I think he's got a great chance in the Seymour Cup at Bendigo. Race 7, number 6, Flash R.
Great work right across the weekend, Dino. Thanks for your help, particularly this morning. And on behalf of the punters around Australia, thanks for the Ramaruffi yesterday.
Good on you, Warren. My pleasure.
Brendan Delaney, how did you see yesterday?
Agreeing with Private Eye as the run of the day. I know he won yesterday and he went round at a short price, but I think if you follow Viznari, you're not going to be too far away. If he can maintain those two Volusa Davy sort of form lines, wherever he steps out next, he's going to be competitive, and hopefully we get a better price.
Looking forward to a big edition of Sunday Central with you shortly, Brendan. Starting off with a preview of that Seymour Cup meeting at Bendigo. Private Eye, the run of the day, I thought he was a standout. I think Character kept to the distances of around about 1,600 metres. The Godolphin operation will find the right race for him. He can win a race in the weeks ahead. That's my run of the day horse to follow. That also takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Sunday Central. Brendan Delaney.